Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ravens season is over, but the playoffs start on Saturday, Super Wild Card weekend, 2 games Saturday, 3 Sunday, 1 Monday. And let's talk to our friend Brian Baldinger. He's an Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And Baldy, thank you as always for joining us. So let's start with the Ravens. And obviously they lose to Pittsburgh in an ugly game, ugly finish Sunday night. And now John Harbaugh is jobless for the time being. Just your thoughts on everything that's happened in Ravens world in the last 72 hours.
I was as surprised as anybody. I don't think it came down to one kick.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it was a series of events. I mean, they did not play well at home this year. Awful losses on Thanksgiving to Cincinnati, awful loss to Pittsburgh, awful loss to the Patriots. Those are this year, but there were bad losses. You know, the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, I know, stuck in a craw of the owner for quite a while, losing to Kansas City when they were the number one seed. They had the MVP of the league. They had the number one defense in the league that year, and they could not defeat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. So I think it was a thing. And then, you know, just to see the success that a Mike McDonald's having in Seattle, and the fact that he was in the nest for quite a while, serving his apprenticeship, I think was – a little bit of all those things. And, you know, maybe after 18 years, maybe, you know, Mr. Bisciotti thought it was just time to make a change.
Baldy, we've brought up Andy Reid in recent weeks where, hey, it benefited the Eagles. It benefited him moving on from Philadelphia. Could this be a similar situation? Maybe this is best for the Ravens and also best for John Harbaugh?
It could be, yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, Andy Reid, I remember when he was – you know, released after, I don't know, 12 or 13 years and all the success that he had. I mean, he was quite a bit younger than John at that time. But regardless, you know, Kansas City sent a jet to pick him up 5 days later. He was their coach. Yeah. And they never looked back. He's the best coach they've ever had. I don't know that John could have that kind of success.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could predict that. But I think John can still have great success. He knows how to run an organization. He knows how to put a team together. I think he knows how to put a staff together. And so, you know, I think he's going to get gobbled up here pretty quick. And I think he'll have some success wherever he goes.
I want Spags, Baldy. What do you think of that?
I'd love it. Honestly, you know, Jason, I'm not in my office right now, but when Steve was out for a year, before he went to Kansas City, he spent every Monday at NFL Films. And it was interesting. He would be in my office quite a bit, in Greg Cosell's office. But he spent Monday there. He mostly spent time watching the college game because he knew that was where the NFL game was going and where it was headed. And he wanted to kind of get ahead of it. But I think Spags knows how to game plan. He knows how to do all the things you need to do. And he does it maybe in a different – with a different personality than what John has, which might wear thin after a while. But I think you know, if you look at his track record, I mean, he didn't get much of a chance in St. Louis.
No.
I think he deserves a second chance.
We're talking with Brian Baldinger. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Baldy, is there anybody else that you can think of, putting you on the spot a little bit, that you think makes sense as the Ravens next?
Obviously, a lot of people connecting Jesse Minter dots for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean, look, You know, Jesse was in that building quite a bit, like Mike McDonald was in that building.
Yep.
And, you know, you get familiar with the management style and what the owner expects and how things operate. And there's a certain standard of what goes on there. And I think Jesse recognizes that and recognized that this has always kind of been a defensive, kind of built franchise. But regardless, I think he's learned a lot from both the Harbaughs.
Yeah.
You know, being out there with the Chargers now. And I think he would be a great candidate. And he's done a great job. We'll see how he does, this weekend against Jacksonville. But I think that he's got a good resume, and he certainly recognizes what the standard is in Baltimore.
Baldy, let's get to Wild Card Weekend, and let's start in Chicago, where the Bears are home dogs against the Packers, and boy, did the Packers struggle down the stretch, including losing that amazing game in Chicago on that Saturday night a few weeks back. Who do you see winning that one?
And just a couple weeks before, you know, it came down to the final throw of Caleb Williams, you know, throwing one to Cole Kmet in the end zone, and Keyshawn Nixon jumped in front of him and intercepted it. Otherwise, that game might have gone tied and into overtime as well. I feel like whatever quarterback can generate the most big passing plays in the passing game is going to win. So I think both teams will do what they do in the run game. They both emphasize it. They stay with it. They're married to it. But I think the big plays in this game are going to come out of the passing game. That's what's happened in the last two matchups. And so I think whichever quarterback, whether it's, you know, Love or whether it's Caleb Williams and the fleet of receivers that both teams have, whoever has more success in the passing game, I think is going to come out on top. But I think it's going to be another real close game, down to the wire, probably late fourth quarter type win. Chicago leads the league in takeaways. They have for most of the season. Maybe it comes down to just, you know, one of those, Kevin Byard, who leads the league in interceptions, Nashawn Wright, one of those defensive backs coming up with a, you know, a late turnover in that game could decide it.
What do you think about the Jags and the Bills? I'm sorry, the Jags and the Bills. That would be ridiculous. What do you think about the Jags and the Chargers both advancing this weekend, Baldy?
I think the Jags have an excellent chance. I really like the way they're constructed. I think a lot of teams that are looking for coaches and general managers should look at what the Jags did with Boselli and James Gladstone and Liam Cohen, and just how they kind of built that franchise from the top down and took a quarterback that looked like he was on his way out and looked like he was washed up early, and he's just been completely rebuilt. You know, it's kind of funny looking at what Baker Mayfield did this year without Liam and what Trevor Lawrence did with Liam. Maybe that common denominator there says a lot about the coaching prowess of Liam Cohen. I like the Jags. I like the Jags to move forward. I know, you know, Josh Allen is waiting there, and he's got some of the roadblocks that he's run into years past out of the way. But this Jags team is a real block, because while the Bills are built around the run game and James Cook leads the league in rushing, Jacksonville finished the season the best in the league against the run. So I think that's, you know, one of the little game within the games that I think we can look at in this game.
Baldy, we currently have 25% of the league looking for a new head coach, 8 head coaching openings, and there's smoke surrounding 3 other teams that are currently in the playoffs. If the Packers lose, there's some talk about Matt LaFleur losing his job, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, and, of course, Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Is it possible we're going to have more job openings when the dust settles on Tuesday morning?
Well, when John was released, Adam Schefter came out and said there were 7 teams immediately interested. And if you just take the Ravens out, that means one of the teams that still had a head coach, and maybe that was Miami, but one of the teams that still had a head coach was interested in John. And so who knows? We have seen this before where a coach, you know, becomes available, and all of a sudden the other team that has the head coach thinks maybe it's time for a change. Maybe we can upgrade, that kind of thing. So I don't know that we're done, because I didn't see this happening to John. I didn't see it happening today in Miami. And could it happen again? Yeah, I think it could happen in one of those 3 places.
Let's go back to Sunday's field, Ball. The 49ers taking on the Eagles. The Niners were rolling heading into that game against Seattle, and that was a thud for them offensively.
They got McDonald.
Yeah, they did get McDonald. So now, instead of the 1 seed, they head to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, 5.5-point favorites. Who wins that one?
Philadelphia sat their players last week. There was a lot of people within the building there at NovaCare in Philadelphia that weren't real happy with the guy sitting, with a chance to win the number 2 seed and not knowing that Chicago was going to lose, and they could be hosting Green Bay today and hosting another playoff game next week. But the players I know that rested, they feel a lot better than they did last week at this time. And so I think the rest is going to do them good. The 49ers ran into what Mike McDonald does. Like, he sits there in those matchup zones, and they force you to throw it, and there's no place to go with the ball. And Brock Purdy actually played really well. There's just no place to go. And they've got all the talent in the world in that side of the ball in Seattle to shut anybody down right now. San Francisco has got a tough matchup in Philadelphia on Sunday afternoon.
All right, we were just talking about other dominoes to fall. What about this one, Baldy? So the Commanders have already fired coordinators and position coaches, and they're keeping Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn's a great guy, but we just saw his mentor, Pete Carroll, out after 1 year. Boy, if you don't have six or seven studs on your defense, good luck playing all that cover three, right? So, like, they're already gutting it. Why don't they fire Quinn? You bring Harbaugh in. You bring Denard Wilson, local kid, D.C. area, PG County, University of Maryland, to run the defense. You got Todd Monken coming to work with Jalen Daniels. What could be better than that? And you bring our buddy Bobby DePaul. Joe Jackson Gibbs makes a call.
Yeah.
Bobby DePaul and the PR staff. You know, Harb's wanted him here back in the day. DaCosta wouldn't let him in the building. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Baldy, that combo?
Well, Jason, you know, you've given it more thought than myself, but I'm just listening to you talk, and I'm not opposed. I mean, I don't know what Adam Peters is thinking right now. There's a lot of murmurs. You might know a lot better, Jason, than me, that there was already...
I'm just spitballing, Baldy.
I understand, but I understand that there's also a lot of, you know, I mean, stuff that was going on last year. They just happened to win, and it got covered up between, you know, Josh Harris and Adam Peters and, you know, and Dan Quinn, and, you know, it kind of never came to the surface because they went to the NFC Championship game, and they had the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and all of a sudden, things fall apart. So, I mean, there's a lot to replace right now. I mean, you might want to just start at the very top.
You'd have Harbs down the road in D.C.? How great.
He could keep his house.
The Ravens-Commanders thing, that's a rivalry.
Yeah.
You put that one on the schedule next year.
Baldy, always great.
Thanks
so much.
Brother. Thought you'd get a kick
out
of that.
All right, guys. Yep. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
I know you will.
Yeah.
All right.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Man, I would love to see Bobby D back in the in a building.
Well, that's his building. I mean, he started there.
Yep. It's got a ring.
And it is still, it's the same still crappy practice facility. I mean, they've gussied it up a little bit, but not that much.
Coming up next, League at Large.
I guess technically they were moved. The dullest. They were the dullest one there, but I mean, they're right down the road, and it's old, and
is it
crappy.
Ashburn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other side of Dulles, but I mean, they're right there.
We've got playoff games this weekend, and let's hear from a couple defensive coordinators. How about possible future Ravens head coach Jesse Minter and possible future Ravens head coach Steve Spagnuolo? They spoke. We hear from them next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals. With a fraction of the work, just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here on the Fan.
I think some of it's unique, but I think there's everybody's got their own style, first of all. I don't think he and I are alike in some ways, but yet I think, you know, we try to get the same thing out of the group. And so sometimes that's my style is different than his and vice versa. But I've learned so much from him just about building up players, creating an environment that they feel like they're getting better, that they're developing, that the work that they're putting in is translating. And so I just think he's always had an environment where guys really develop the mentality that, like, you get better at football when you work at it and you put in the time and you put in the energy. And it's proven over his track record that that's always been the case.
That's Jesse Minter. He's the defense coordinator of the L.A. Chargers. And it's human nature to think that maybe he's the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, because while he's working with Jim Harbaugh currently, he's also worked for John Harbaugh. And so there's history in this building. He's also taken a Ravens former player in Adafi Owe and unlocked him into 7.5 sacks this season since the trade. If they're going to beat the Patriots, this defense has got to show up on Sunday evening.
I think they've only allowed more than 20 points in a game once in their last 10 games. It is one of the elite pass defenses in all of football. You look at opposer passer rating, you look at interception percentage, like they're elite. It's been one of the best first half road defenses in the NFL over the last 2 years since Harbaugh and Minter arrived. He's revitalized Derwin James' career. They've endured some injuries and Bosa becoming a nothing burger and Bosa leaving. And so, like, it hasn't all been peaches and cream. I think this guy is a stud. I think this guy will be a great NFL head coach over time, or has the potential to be a good NFL mm-hmm. head coach over time. But I think because he was sort of bled into the NFL here, because he is something of a product of their way, because he's someone who I think Eric DaCosta would be super comfortable with. Eric DaCosta's been too comfortable for too long. I don't want the head coach to be one more thing that makes him think he's empowered, he's doing it right, he just needs the worm to turn, he just needs to get a little lucky. Oh, if it wasn't for an injury or two. Football's a game of injuries. So this one here honestly scares me. I want someone who's done it before, who can come in and pound the table a little bit more. Like, if he wants to keep drafting small corners who can't tackle, try doing that with Steve Spagnuolo as the head coach. It's not happening. Try building a team with no D tackles who can get any penetration and who are built like a power pig. It's not happening. So immediately, I don't have to worry about, like, what's the defense going to look like? Because if you're hiring Spags, Spags don't have a big hand in what the defense looks like. Jesse Minter, I think, is going to come here and he'd be a guy who'd be pretty malleable and, like,
well, it would be his first head coaching gig anywhere.
Yeah.
And look, this is a guy, like you said, just paid his dues, has absolutely earned the opportunity, and more than likely is going to get a head coaching job, whether it's in Baltimore.
People are raving about
it. Whether it's in Baltimore or elsewhere, he's one of those hot young names. He's only 42 years old, and he started his NFL career here in Baltimore back in 2017 as a defensive assistant, mm-hmm. stayed here for 4 years, then went to Michigan with Jim, and has been in L.A. with Jim the past couple of years, and the Chargers' defense been really good. They were first in points last year, ninth in points this year, fifth overall. There definitely is a lot to like with Jesse Minter. And if he comes here, if he ends up coming here, who knows? He could be extremely successful. But I think it gets back to the point that we were saying. It would be odd to fire John and immediately go to a John and Jim disciple.
That part of it's odd, though, because this guy's 42 at the beginning of his career. He's at a very different point than...
Oh,
like, he's much more like Harbs when Harbs first got here.
Sure.
Like, that part of it doesn't scare me.
I just think you wouldn't want a different flavor.
For where Lamar is now and for where this roster is, and where this franchise is, I don't know that they can afford someone to grow into the job, and someone while they grow in the job is under the GM's thumb. I don't want that.
Well, I've been on the record saying I would prefer someone who has been a head coach before, and that way you have the experience, and you don't have time to grow into the job like you're saying, Jay-Z. You're on the clock day one. Lamar just turned 29 yesterday. This is his last season in his 20s. You got to win now.
More from Jesse Minter, talks about wanting fast starts from his defense.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you ever want, you don't ever plan going into the game of like, oh, we're going to start off bad and then have to bounce back. I think we've had good instances of both ways. It's good to, you know, especially maybe after the previous loss, like prove that you can be that way. And if you need to be, if you need to make adjustments or if you need to, you know, kind of kick out of it a little bit. And so definitely like how that's happened. And I also think like not every opening touchdown is the same. Some are, you know, I didn't think it's the third play of the game. We had a miscommunication. They took advantage of it. Happened to be 75 yards away from the end zone, which you don't love the result of that. But didn't feel like we were going into the game not ready to play or anything of that nature. So I think they're all different. Like I said, you like how we bounce back, but we certainly have a very, very keen focus on starting fast and trying to start off the game with a great execution, urgency, to not allow those teams to maybe get a little bit of confidence early in the game.
And Jason, as you said, this has been one of the better defenses in the NFL down the stretch.
I'm a huge fan of Jesse Minter's work. He would be at the top of my list for most of these jobs. But most of these other jobs are teams with no pedigree of winning that don't have a Lamar Jackson in his age 29 season about to make $70 million a year. That don't have a successful owner who's closer to selling than he is handing it to anybody in his family. They're like, it's just, they're not rebuilding. They're not even really, they need to, I mean, they are kind of rebuilding, but like, they can't afford to rebuild. I just don't, for a lot of reasons, I think there's other ways they should go here.
Ravens are looking for a new head coach. Maybe it's Jesse Minter. Maybe not. They have scheduled a bunch of interviews. Morgan Atsit, Fox 45 Sports. Her reaction to John Harbaugh getting fired and who could be next. We'll talk to her next here.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm a fan. Ravens lose to the Steelers Sunday night, and a couple days later, they fire John Harbaugh, who's been the head coach since 2008. Let's talk Ravens now with Morgan Atsit, Fox 45 Sports. And Morgan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Just, I guess, start your reaction to John Harbaugh being fired.
Not at all surprised. The longer Tuesday went, when we got past the 4 p.m. hour, I was like, well, maybe he's going to get to clear some house, in particular on the defensive side of the ball. And we might run this back and just say, let's see what one more year does. And then what, 5'10", 5'05", bam. So not at all surprised about the move, but the longer we got into the second day of the week when we start seeing these moves, a little surprised that it went to that far and that it wasn't released by the Ravens first.
Well, Morgan, now that the book is closed on John Harbaugh's time in Baltimore, what is his lasting legacy?
I think he should be a winner, right? I mean, I know the immediate fan base is at the bar right now celebrating. You know, like, it's what they wanted. But I think when you peel it all back, you had nothing but successful and winning football for the majority of his 18 seasons here. Only three losing seasons. I know since 2018, only three playoff wins in that span, and that's what's kind of done it in this Lamar Jackson era, especially with his two MVP seasons, how great the teams were and how flat they fell in the playoffs. That's what did this in. But when you look around the league, there's not a lot of successful franchises, and they're surely not successful for long runs like this. So I think in time, should look back at this fondly. He won. He brought a Super Bowl. He kept your team relevant. And it was an exciting team to watch throughout the years, especially from, I mean, even through with Joe Flacco. I mean, that was awesome, too, especially when they got into the postseason. So I just think that fans, and I think they will, and I think anyone in the business, it's why he's getting phone calls and allegedly coaches are getting fired to get him into your building. I mean, he's a hot commodity. He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach, and I think that will be his lasting footprint.
So he's obviously a different candidate than most, and this is a different job open than most. This is not one that comes open all the time. This is not one of these, you know, this isn't the Browns and the Dolphins and these organizations that have been, you know, chasing their tail forever. This is not a long-term rebuild. So with that in mind, is there a certain profile that you prefer a candidate have? Do you think a prerequisite or something close to it, having coached at the college or pro level as a head coach before? What are your thoughts on that?
I think even going back to John Harbaugh's hire, it's kind of the footprint of, like, you knew the name, and if you knew the NFL, you knew who he was, but he's a special teams coordinator. So it was a little bit of a gamble, and it might not have been their first choice, but it's how it's happened. So I think if you get anybody in and they're great, and this is a great franchise starting from the top and going down, is why it's been so successful and it keeps people together. I think that can breed success, and it's not really the way of the nature of the business. It's certainly not the nature of NFL and college football to keep a coach, you know, what, 4 years, see if even that, three. I personally think with what is set up, mm-hmm. and what they want to do immediately, having head coaching experience would probably be preferred. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's necessary, but this new coach might not get this Ravens way of longevity, right, and we're going to stay by you. Like, if you heard, and if you've heard Steve Bisciotti before this season talking with John Harbaugh at some of the meetings that they've had throughout owners' meetings, and if you read his statement, and if you know who is running this team as far as on the field, Lamar Jackson is built around him, you've got a 2 to 4 year window, I would assume. Mm-hmm. So I would think it's win now, strike now. I personally would want to lean towards head coaching experience that has done it, but it doesn't mean that's the way it has to go.
We're talking with Morgan at Citizen Inside Access here on the Fan. Morgan, you mentioned Steve Bisciotti, and in 2022, we talked to four members of the media, but he hasn't talked to the us Unwashed people since, what, the end of the 2017 season. How intrigued are you to hear what Steve has to say on Tuesday?
He's the one. I mean, I know he's up there with Eric DaCosta, but he's the one everyone's going to hear. Just why? And then we've heard reports that not everybody may have been on the same page about that. And that's why it was going past the 4 o'clock hour on Tuesday. And I'm even thinking maybe he's going to be safe and be here. I'd want to know just why. Was there a disconnect? Is there a disconnect with this team? What are you looking for in your next head coach? Why haven't we seen you that much and heard from you after each season? And why is it taking, what, 6 days? It'll be no, a week. It was Tuesday to Tuesday. 1 week to speak. I mean, we saw some other firings around the league and the owners speaking later that day.
Yeah.
Now these owners are more, you know, hands-on and we see them more. It's no knock on that, but just, I mean, the biggest question is why the move? Why the move now? Why haven't you found the success and how are you going to find the success? And was there a lot more happening behind the scenes than we were led on to believe?
Well, Morgan, now that John Harbaugh is gone, is Eric DaCosta on the hot seat? How much pressure is he under?
I would think everybody in that building that's not Steve Bisciotti is feeling pressure and seeing that massive change can happen, even being a team that is a field goal off from having this conversation. We wouldn't be having this conversation if Tyler Loop makes that. I know there's a lot more that goes into that game, but that decided the game. They'd be preparing for a playoff game right now. Should be maybe sitting up a little bit straighter and seeing, like, the window, if you didn't know the window is now. That would be the biggest kind of wake-up call. And as much as I do fall in the line of 18 years is a really long time, it's a really long time in that business. And sometimes you can shake things up and find success when you shake those up. It happened when John Harbaugh was hired, very early on success. The Ravens have more talent in place than what he took over. So it could make new life and breathe new life in this team. Is it sustainable? Is it going to be as successful when he gets the new season? Is it going to work? Who knows? Time will tell. But John Harbaugh was not the only problem with the Ravens this season and as of late. He doesn't construct the roster. He doesn't go out there and play in the postseasons. Lamar Jackson since 2018 is the same as John Harbaugh, only 3 playoff wins. Lamar Jackson has had 10 turnovers in those playoffs from 18 to now in that span. He's not Zay Flowers having a fumble. He's not Mark Andrews not making a catch. They've had some catastrophic failures by leaders on the field and some big-time moments that you can't pinpoint and blame always the coaching staff on that. But he runs the show, and the move was made, and now we'll see where it takes him.
Morgan, always great. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, Maryland had a basketball game last night, and we were not confident heading into the game about Maryland's chances. And they
only down one early in the second half. I think they cut it to one.
But then the rest of the second half happened. We'll recap their 84-66 loss to Indiana next here on The Fan.
Indiana comes to College Park. They knock off Maryland tonight, the final 84-66.
Johnny Holiday with the final call. You heard it right here on 105.7 The Fan. Terps only down 4 at the half, but outscored by 13 in the second half. They lose 84-66. Solomon Washington was one of five Terps in double figures, but man, oh man, offense was tough. After the game, though, Coach Buzz Williams explained how he thinks they're getting close.
We're playing harder. We're playing more together. Our coaches are doing a great job of identifying measurables. Our practices are much more impactful in regards to how we're spending the itinerary of what impacts winning. In some ways, I think we've stopped losing and we've had momentum in the process of all of this. We just haven't had momentum in the results. And so, just like I told them, we'll keep auditing how we can improve, and we'll keep building on the things that we know we are having success with, and the things that we're deficient in, we've got to continue to find ways to improve.
So that was something. They are winless in the Big Ten. They're now 7-8, sitting with a losing record. It was an ugly watch, even in the first half when they were keeping it close, at an empty barn. What do you make of what Buzz said?
I don't like being gaslit.
That was the first comment.
You
got to me.
Wait, well, you're saying you're not losing. You definitely ain't winning. I mean, this don't look like winning basketball at all. I just think, again, like, I thought he was very honest and transparent with how he set up the season, sort of where he set expectations. I could sort of buy into a lot of that. But this isn't a football school. This is a basketball school. People have seen, you know, nets cut down here. Come on now. Like, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Like, you don't want to be measured by the results, then don't bring results up. But don't tell me that what this is something that's not losing bad. Like, no, this is explicitly, like, this is losing basketball. You're turning the ball over. You're settling for terrible threes. It happened the day before, and you greenlit it. You said those are green shots. Those aren't red shots. Like, so am I shocked that they came out and chucked up 26, 30 more bad threes and only made a half dozen? No, because they did it last time out, and you tried to say it was by design.
And it looked like early in the game they were trying to get to the hole, and then when that
not
wasn't
for
working,
long.
They were like,
and yeah, then you knew Indiana's going to eventually start scoring. Yeah. Like, yeah. They're not a good enough defensive team to hold them down. And then, you know, like, the second half was I mean, now they're going out west.
Whew. That was the first comment that kind of – I saw Taylor Lyons, friend of the show, writer for the Baltimore Sun. He tweeted out that direct quote, and my eyebrows kind of raised, like, I don't like that. It kind of – not the same thing, but when Locksley, not the same old Maryland, you know, just those comments, you can't, like, read a room. That this is – ugly what's happening right now, and there's a lot of different factors, and this is not me attacking the fans in any way, but it's been quite some time. I mean, I'm sure when the year Turgeon got fired there were some instances, but for a conference game, even with the students being out, it was dead. It was just, there was no energy, and I'm not blaming the fans at all. Again, it's just, there's no local ties to the players. It's a brand new roster. The team is not very good. But I just thought that last night was very indicative of where this program is at right now, and it's not a good spot. The Terps went 28 consecutive seasons without having a losing record. This is looking like it's going to head to a losing record. That'll be three times.
And again,
that'll be 3 times in the last 5 years.
The people who are still watching, and there aren't many, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we're watching. So you want to frame it differently.
Yes,
that's fine.
Yes,
you want to talk about, hey, for our skill level versus our compete, I'll take that. Like, you want to start. You want to create your own metrics.
No, totally.
And you want to preach those. Great. But when you start talking about the result of the game and the quality of the basketball and frame it as something that is cognitively false, that's when you start to piss me off.
There has been some bad Maryland basketball in recent memory because Turgeon got fired for a reason. There was the down year with and then you had Danny Manning coaching the team. You had the down year with Willard, and this is the worst. This is the worst Maryland team I can remember. There's nothing like the Fats Russell team with Danny Manning was more fun to watch than this basketball team. They can't shoot. Their basketball IQ is low. The passing in transition is awful. There's not a single thing that's likable about the team. Like quite frankly, would I like a local kid on the team? Sure. But if they were good, I wouldn't care.
Sure. Yeah,
but they're not good. They're like, there's nothing enjoyable. Maybe when Diggy Coit goes NBA Jam every once in a while, that's fun. That's about it. They jack stuff up at the backboard. Not good shots. It's just that there's nothing likable about them right now.
It's an egregiously tough watch. And again, we kind of knew what we were signing up for, but just get back to talking about our fouls versus their fouls.
Like that's
like get out of this business. You're going down, bro. We still got a lot of basketball to go. Get with your AD. Get with your SIDs. Change your messaging. You're going to go to UCLA. You're going to get angry Cronin. Cronin at home is different than Cronin on the road. You're going to get your head banged in. I don't want to hear that we won the game. When you lose by 18 in Westwood, don't tell me you won the game.
I'll bring in Beltway Ben in a second, but I do want to ask you, like, I get all that. We know what we signed up for, but didn't you think by now we'd have a decent story? Like, again, I bring up
this. Would have been it.
Yeah, but he got hurt. Yeah, but like, Fats, I brought up Fats Russell. Like, Fats Russell was at least fun to watch that year in what was a disastrous Maryland season. There's nothing fun here.
But college basketball's changed so much from that era.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one. These kids don't know where the grocery store is.
But I think to Ken's point, though,
like Fats was a transfer.
This is worse than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like, this is worse
than
we thought
it would be. This is a painful watch.
Yeah. Like, that's what he's saying. And I agree. I didn't think it would be this bad.
I thought there'd be something that, like, that way, Ben, where are you on all this?
No, this is by way worse than anybody could have imagined. It's pathetic watch every night. They suck. He rambles postgame. Like, I'm really just sick of it. Bucky McMillan's at A&M. I was told that, you know, Buzz took over late. He got put in a bad spot. Well, Bucky took over at A&M after that. He's having success. They're winning games. They're playing at least fine basketball. And they can beat iffy team. A&M's not going to go far in the tournament. They might not make the tournament, but they're at least fine. Watch this team. You don't want to watch them. I get angrier and angrier as the game goes on. And I do it to myself. I listen to his post games because I got to just hear, what is he going to make up here? I've heard how damn good the coaching staff is.
Oh, yeah, that's
every 30 seconds. Stop telling me that, because I don't see it. And the effort's bad, because that was one thing. Well, he might have a lot of guys that they might not play in the NBA, but they're going to work hard for him. I don't see these dudes like bought. I mean, I hear they're shooting after games and stuff. Like, no, this is a complete joke. It's disrespectful to the fans. And no, I don't blame nobody for showing up. Like, no, I know you want people to be there. Nobody wants to watch this. It is pathetic every single night. They're not going to beat anybody without pain, like that means anything. Rutgers is a better basketball team than them without pain. So I don't see anything changing. And next year, he needs to be on notice, because if we have to experience anything close to this next year, it's going to be pathetic. And I also don't think it's going to be the Willard thing, where Willard had some awful teams, but he bounced back a year later with something good. Like, next year, they're going to be a 6-seed in the NIT. Like, that's fine. Like, I just can't do that. It's pathetic. I mean, it's truly pathetic.
Well, if you care, Maryland plays UCLA Saturday night in Westwood. It's an 8 o'clock tip. That means pregame coverage starts at 7 o'clock right here on 105.7 The Fan. But coming up next, it's one of our favorite parts of Thursdays. It's Lucy Burge from DraftKings. Best bets and nonsense next here on The Fan.